Good morning. Good morning. It is Saturday, September the 7th in the year of our Lord 2024. Now, this doesn't mean what Saturday usually means. I got to warn you. Exodus has 40 chapters, and we have 14 weeks tops, I think, to get through them before we start Advent. So that means we had to go 6 days a week on Exodus this fall for this series. And that means a problem for our Holy Spirit story Saturdays. We're still trying to resolve that, and we're potentially going to do some Holy Spirit stories on Sunday, along or in place of, perhaps alternating with our Psalms. Anyway, I digress. We're not here to sort the mail. We're here to worship Jesus together and dig into the Word of God. I just wanted to begin to alert you to this. We're going to consecrate ourselves today on Saturday as we enter into this next episode of Plan B? Question mark. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Between the Far Side of the Wilderness and the Mountain of God. Our text is Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The mountain of God is at the far side of the wilderness. Did you catch that? The mountain of God is at the far side of the wilderness. It rings true, doesn't it? This is physical geography, yet it is also spiritual geography. From a condemned infant slave to the palace of Pharaoh, Moses enjoyed extreme privilege in the first season of his life. From the peak of power to the wilderness of Midian, he experienced great obscurity in the second season of his life. The text is careful to tell, he herded not his own sheep, but those of his father-in-law, Jethro. These incredible shifts of fortune pale in comparison to what happened next. After decades of punching the clock, Moses found himself in the midst of another long day, perhaps daydreaming about retirement, if there was such a thing in those days. He was probably somewhere between 70 and 80, somewhere between death and dying, somewhere between cynicism and nothing to look forward to. I see those hands. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. It's the far side of the wilderness, and it is the mountain of God. He had lived some 40 years in this valley of vision, preparing for this next moment, which would open the door into a pilgrimage to another mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and yet another 40 years of wilderness wandering. It is easy to look back from the vantage point of the whole story and marvel at the greatness of Moses and his singular importance to the will of God. Yet the only reason we even know about his life is because of a late life encounter with the greatness of God at a bush on fire, yet not burning up. Biographies aren't typically written until the end of one story. I wonder how many other shepherds passed by the same burning bush and didn't even notice. We could just as well be reading about them instead. There was something about Moses. He was different. We remember his extraordinary life, yet we tend to brush over the extraordinary difficulties of his life. By my math, he wandered in the wilderness for a solid 80 of his 120 years. Sometimes it takes a long season in the wilderness to learn the difference between one's importance and their worth. Sometimes it takes being sidelined by failure, moral or otherwise, or exiled by circumstances or the meaninglessness of a menial job, to remind us that our worth doesn't come from what we can do for God, but from who we are in Jesus. I'm writing to a college student who needs to know Jesus doesn't need their skills and resume to change the world. He wants your heart, your undivided whole heart. I'm writing to a youngish mother who feels as though she's lost herself in diapers and dishes. Jesus is not interested in the former dreams of your earlier life. He wants your heart right now. I'm writing to a middle-aged pastor who is angry at the mediocrity of the church and determined to do something about it. Jesus is not interested in your tireless ambition to make his church better. He wants your heart just as it is. I'm writing to a retired person who has mistaken their dreams for a relatively comfortable life. Jesus is not interested in fortunes and facelifts. He wants your heart as his treasure. I'm writing to myself with all my self-important notions of grandeur to sow for a great awakening. Jesus is not interested in my noble ambitions. He wants my heart. If these words feel crushing, as they do for me, it's probably because they need to. Do you know what we call the thin place between the far side of the wilderness and the mountain of God? We call it the altar. It's the altar where our earthbound dreams come to die, that the vision of heaven might be birthed in our hearts, anew, afresh. or maybe for the very first time. This thin place between resignation and resurrection. Let's call it the altar of relinquishment. The place of letting go of everything but God. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I hear you decree a season of exodus over me, over my family, over my church, even my city, my town. I receive it. And as you decree it, I declare it. I receive your deliverance from my own best ideas and plans. I receive your deliverance into the full-throated, full-throttled will of God for all my days, starting with this one. I receive your deliverance from the apathy of resignation. I receive your deliverance into the abiding life of resurrection. Thank you for this place between the far side of the wilderness and the mountain of God, this altar of relinquishment. Teach and train my soul to relinquish everything but you, for this will be the place where my life catches fire with your glory, like the bush, a flame that will not be consumed. Come, Holy Spirit, prepare my heart, mind, soul, and strength for the deliverance that comes with Exodus. And now let it be as you decree, for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. And let's sing. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. I love the Gloria Patris. I call it the anthem of Plan A. God's plan never stopped. And we're wanting to go from the plan B that's sort of distracted us and disturbed us and arrested us and even accosted us. We want to go from that plan B. We want to get back to plan A. That's what Exodus is about. The journey from slavery to the promised land, as we said yesterday, from the wasteland to Graceland. Thank you, Debo Anyabanjo. I love that man. Well, the journal prompts for today, Saturday. How have you come to a deepened understanding of the difference between your importance and your worth? How do you relate to this word, relinquishment? How might you make an altar of relinquishment? What is the nature of the deliverance Jesus is bringing you now? From what to what? Those are big questions, I know. And I know you're wrestling with them. They're the questions. We're going to sing in a minute. We're going to sing I Surrender All. That's a good hymn of relinquishment, isn't it? Number 607 in the hymnal. And if you haven't gotten your seedbed hymnal, guys, there's one with your name on it. Just order it today. The link's in the email. I Surrender All, we're going to sing. We're going to have an altar call this morning on the wake-up call, number 607. We'll sing it in a second, but I don't know. I feel like maybe I may have offended somebody today when I said, I think I said it like this. I'm writing to a retired person who's mistaken their dreams for a relatively comfortable life. And that's not so offensive. But when I said Jesus is not interested in fortunes and facelifts, okay, that may have stung some people, particularly the facelift people. Hey, I just want to say, I'm sorry. No shame in that game for anybody who's had the, you know, the little stretches and the tucks and all that. That's okay. But that's probably enough. And it's probably now time to do what you did that for, which is to get on with plan A and just let go, as we say. The altar of relinquishment is letting go of everything but God. And, you know, if you are in that space, I spoke to a lot of people there in different spaces, and there's so many more to speak to. But if you're in that space of retirement, I kind of want to call you to unretirement, to unretire, not to go back to, you know, an 8-to-5, a job, but to press into a calling. I say you're in your kingdom prime. I mean, look, this was Moses was like, what, somewhere between 70 and 80 when he came to the burning bush. And that's where his whole, that's why we even know about Moses, was because he woke up at 75. And the way opened up for him to do the next God thing, and it became unimaginably profound. I mean, it wasn't easy. Like we say, he wandered another 40 years after they got out. It wasn't his fault, but he was well rehearsed at wilderness by then. And truth be told, this entire life that we're living, it's in the wilderness of the world, but the gospel of Jesus, he made a way when there was no way. And ultimately, he's made a way for us out of the wilderness into the promised land of his eternal presence, first in heaven and then in the resurrection of the dead back on earth. But in the meantime, he's making a way in the wilderness. He's bringing streams in the desert. I'm out of time. There's more I'd like to say. But guess what? We've got Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Y'all are with me every day. I'm with you every day. What a blessing for me. Let's go to our hymn here. I think I said it was number 607. Turning there in my hymnal. We're going to sing all four verses. You ready? We're at the altar, guys. I'm seeing you. We're kneeling together. We're singing. The Spirit is moving. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Last verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Well, gang, it's Saturday, and we're breaking with our pace a little bit, but that's good sometimes. It's good to do something a little bit different. Thank you for hanging with me. And there's seeds to be sown today, and you are surrendered up. But I want you to really wrestle and even struggle with this whole concept of an altar of relinquishment. It's a kind of another level of surrender. And there's really no end to surrender. There's always more of us to give to more of the Lord. And the more that we give of ourselves to the Lord, the more we know the Lord. And then the more we know of ourselves. It's beautiful. It's powerful. So be encouraged today. Get your seeds. I'll see you on the field. We'll see you back here tomorrow for a sung psalm together for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.